Amen. We're going to go into the Word of God tonight and just dig deeper into this subject we've been looking at over the last few weeks, which is on entering into the rest of God. And if you come with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 3 to start with, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. Now, we spent some time looking at this, and I'm not going to recap on it. But it's, if you want to go back and study it, you can go to my website and download the audio and the notes. But in verse 19, it says this. It says, so we see that they, this is talking about the people of God, the Israelites, God's chosen people. It says they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, as we've been tracing through this subject of rest, we've already seen that in order to enter the rest, we've got to enter by faith. Just as I was saying just a moment ago, anything we have from God, we've got to receive it by faith. We've got to enter into the rest by faith. And God's people failed to enter in because of unbelief. Yeah. Now, their unbelief and mistrusting God, after all that he had done for them, bringing them up out of Egypt, bringing them through the Red Sea, providing for them, giving them food and drink, and you know, and the amazing miracle that their clothing didn't wear out.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything God did for them, and they came to the edge of the promised land, and we've covered it, and you know the scriptures, I'm sure, how Moses sent the spies in, and they came back with this report. Now, all 12 spies had seen the same thing, but 10 of them came back and said, that's absolutely hopeless, you know, we can't do it, you know, they're fortified, they're giants in the land, it's too difficult, you know, we're going to be swallowed up by them. And actually, the book of Numbers says this, their attitude was, that, you know, we're like grasshoppers. We're like the grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb came back and said, no, come on, guys, we can do it. You know, God's on our side. God's promised to give us this land. You know, God will fight. We've seen him fight our enemies for us. And he will do it again. If he's promised to bring us in. But you know what happened. Disobeyed God. They, you know, and what that does, it actually displeases God. In the book of Hebrews, we read these words, that faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
In chapter 11, verse 6, we read that. So if that's the case, if by having faith we please God, unbelief must displease him. That's logical.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, definitely.
If one thing pleases God, then the opposite of it must displease him. You know, what God is actually looking for, and Jesus touched on this, if you want to come with me to Luke 18, verse 8. What God is looking for, he's looking for a people of faith. A people that will trust him. A people that will do what he says. Actually, in John's Gospel it says this, if you love me, you'll do what I command you.
That's right.
You'll keep my word.
Yeah.
If you love me. And if we love someone, we trust them. And if we trust them, we're going to do what they tell us to do. Now, in Luke 18, verse 8, it says this, and Jesus asks this question about the, he's talking about the end of times. And he says here, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When he comes, will he find faith? He asks this question. Now, the way I understand that, the fact that he's asking this question means that when he comes, he's going to find a lot of people that aren't, that are so-called Christians, that are so-called believers, and they're not going to be in faith.
Yeah.
You know, thank God that you know, we are looking forward to that glorious hope.
Yes.
You know, we're living a trust in the light of His coming at any moment. You know, we are sitting here right now, but there's no guarantee tonight that we'll ever make it back to our homes or our hotel.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the moment we step out of that door, you know, that could be it. That's the Lord right. Could come.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, and I think Pastor said this the other day, and it is true. You know, when we get to heaven, or what we understand as heaven, we are going to be surprised in two ways. One, we're going to be surprised who's there with us. We never would have believed it. You know, he was such a bad man. Why? Because he gave his life to the Lord, perhaps on his deathbed. And we're going to be totally shocked in that sense. But then we're going to be also shocked because we're going to see people there, or we're not going to see people there. That we, well, where's brother? Where's sister? Where are they?
Right.
Why? Because there's no faith.
Yeah.
It's just out of they're just going along, just out of duty, going to church, following a tradition, following a set of rules and regulations, yeah. Doing what they think they need to do in order to get their way into heaven. So when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now God's looking for that people of faith. People that will trust him,
yes.
People that believe his word,
yeah.
No matter what they feel like, or what their circumstances look like, and that type of faith will bring us into the rest. We saw it in the life of Abraham.
Yeah.
A man who, when everything was against him, when even his own body was against him, and even the very thought of what God had promised him, you know, almost could make... And I touched on this, I know Sarah did at one point, almost laughable. You know, God, come on, God, be real. Me, a father, at my age? Now that, we saw it in, now, yes, now God had to deal with Abraham, God touched him, God worked in his life. Until he came to that place where we're actually now, we know him, throughout the church as the father of faith. A man who, and I just love this, what it says of him, we've touched it, we've read it quite a few times, where it talking of Abraham, and it gave him a confidence and assurance when he trusted the word of God, where he could say that, he says, I am fully persuaded that what God has promised, God will bring to pass. That's the essence of what Paul wrote to the Romans, that, you know, he was fully persuaded, totally convinced. He couldn't talk Abraham out of the blessing,
yeah.
Out of the promise of God. You know, many people have come to me over the years, and sad to say, I think the majority of them have been from within the church. And Peter, you don't expect that. Well, why not?
That's right.
You can't expect God to do that. Why not? Did God give the promise? Did God give his word? If he gave his word, then if you're coming to try and talk me out of what God has promised,
yeah.
You might as well give up,
sure,
now, because
absolutely.
You're too late.
Sure.
You know, I've known experience in my life. I've got testimonies of God's goodness,
yes.
God's faithfulness,
yes.
God's provision.
Yeah. Sure.
And it's too late now to,
yes.
tell me that God,
yes.
doesn't,
yeah. Come on.
Meet his need,
yes.
meet my needs.
Yes.
You know, I'm like Abraham. I'm fully persuaded.
Yes.
Amen.
Totally convinced that what God has promised, God will bring to pass. Now, I'm not saying I don't have a wobble every now and then.
Wobble.
and I get to that because I know I'm a man. I'm like other people. And as I preached the other Sunday morning, you know, time is our biggest enemy. You know, when we go through time, we think, perhaps question God. You know, God, you know, why, when. We have these little wobbles, but then we come back to the Word of God and say, well, what God have you promised? Oh yeah, God, you bless it, yeah. And we're back on track. You know, totally convinced that what God has promised, He will bring it to pass. In chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to move on. Because the writer to the Hebrews, he says, the people of God couldn't enter in because of unbelief. Now that's not the end of the four. And sometimes I wish we didn't have our Bibles set out the way they are. I know it makes it easy for us to find the scriptures. And we can say, well, you turn to chapter X and verse Y, because we it makes it easiest for to locate it. But Jesus didn't do that. Do you remember when he was telling his stuff? He says, haven't you read in the scriptures, in the passage about the burning bush? He didn't tell them it was Exodus chapter 3. Because they didn't have chapter breaks and verse breaks. It might have been in the book of Moses. Yeah. And that was good enough for them. But the thought continues in this next chapter. Entering into the rest. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. And then the writer to the Hebrews writes this. He says, therefore, that automatically connected to the previous thought, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear. Now, that's not this demonic fear. This has reverence to God. Lest any of you seem to have come short of it. If we're short of the rest, you know, we don't have to get ourselves in a mess about it. What if we come back to God? And he goes on to explain. He says, the gospel, indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Yeah. Now, here I might add, our understanding, a lot of people's understanding of the word gospel is very narrow, because when we talk about the gospel, it's that and we tend to think that, yeah, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, that's it, you receive him by faith, and that's it, you're into heaven. The gospel, it means good news. And what was the good news to the people, the Israelite people, was that they were going to enter into the promise of God. They were going to enter into the land of rest. Yeah. Now, they had that gospel preached to them, but the problem they had was they didn't, as it goes on to say here, it didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. If we hear what God says, and we just say, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. We can forget that chapter. It's not going to profit us. If we don't receive it by faith and we don't believe it, then we will not benefit from what God's word says. Now, it remains the word of God, but it won't affect us. I had this conversation with my brother once. We were talking. It was shortly after my mother had gone home to be with the Lord, and you know, the answers to the questions that we had. You know, why did Mum? Why did the cancer take her? And you know, why did she die of that? My brother was having a real hard time with the whole. I had this conversation. And he turned his back a little bit on healing. It's obviously it's not God's will, and because this happened and that, and too many good people were that he. I said, John, I said, if you're going to be like that, you'll never have any problem with healing, because you'll never be healed. Whenever sickness, he saw it in his life, his family, his kids, you know, because he made a statement like that, things began to happen in his family. People got sick, and he would wonder, why are they always getting sick? Why is this happening? If you're going to make a statement like, it's not God's will, then don't take them to the doctor. If it's God's will that they be sick, don't go to the doctor, don't seek professional help, don't go down to the hospital, stay sick and be blessed. Because obviously if it's not God's will, that's what you're saying, then you don't want to step out of God's will and seek healing. And we had this little debate, and I think he's mellowed a little late since then. That was quite a while ago. But we've got to mix it with faith. If we don't mix it with faith, we won't profit from it. And that's what God's people did wrong. They had the promise, but they didn't mix it with faith. And because of that, it cost them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, which they could have been enjoying the fullness of the blessing. But then the writer goes on in verse 3, says, "For we who have believed," there's that faith coming in again, "we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." That was what God said about his people. You know, they're not going to enter the rest. Why? Because they didn't believe. Even though, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, it had already been determined that they would have that land. That was their inheritance. That was their rest. That's the place that God intended them to be.
Yeah.
Now that was settled before the foundation of the world. And they missed out on that blessing because of unbelief. Now, it goes on in verse 4, it says, "He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way." It says, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest." Now, God rested on the seventh day after he had finished his work. Now, well, actually, I believe the rest was part of the work. Yes, 6 days he created the heavens and the earth. And so on the seventh day, that was part of creation.
Yes.
The rest.
Yes,
definitely. Why? And you see, you know, we need to come to that place where we learn to rest.
Yeah, definitely.
We rest from our work. Now, I'm not just talking about physical work,
yeah,
where we go to our daily jobs and we do our employment. Although that's important and scriptural, that we take a rest, we have a holiday. You know, we pull away from it. That's why we have that commandment given, that 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and on the seventh you shall... You were not created to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Right.
Your body can't cope with that type of work. You were created to rest. But what I'm talking about, the rest I'm talking about here, when I say rest from our work, is the labor and toil and pressures of daily living.
Yeah.
The cares of living. Paying the bills.
Yes, that's right.
Buying the food.
Yeah.
Buying clothing. The concerns over our children.
Yeah.
And the multitude of other pressures that we face. You know, like schooling,
yeah,
work,
yeah,
health issues. All these things that come upon us. You know, he who has entered God's rest... let's read that. I'm jumping ahead. Let's start verse 10. Verse 9, let's go there because I've got it highlighted in my Bible. Verse 9, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." Now, when we come to that place of rest, we come to the place where we can, Now, don't misinterpret what I'm going to say. We no longer have concern over the needs that we're faced with. I believe there's a right place for concern, but it's not worrying about them.
That's right, certainly.
It's not pondering on them.
That's right, absolutely.
And going over them and replaying them and rehearsing them.
Yes,
I believe it's right that we're concerned about our children, but that concern should take us to prayer. Take us to trust in God.
Yeah.
Lord, what's your promise concerning my kids?
That's right.
And we pray about it, and we take it before the Lord.
Yeah.
But we spend, as people, as men and women, we spend far too much time pondering over the things that we shouldn't be pondering over. What did Paul write in another scripture? He says, meditate on these things. And what is he talking about? Things that are good and lovely and pure, things that are of good report, things that are noble, all the right sort of things. The things that aren't going to weigh us down, but the things that are going to lift us up. We work too hard at worrying. We toil in trying to solve the problems ourselves. But what rest is actually letting go of all that work and letting God take over. If you had let's just assume you had a big problem. You needed several thousand pounds or if you're here in Malta, euro. And you've got this need, it's pressing need. You need it by tomorrow. Because if you haven't got it tomorrow, that's it, you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your things, all these pressures. And I came to you now. I'm not in the position to do this, so don't take it. But I said, okay, don't worry about that. I'll be at your house 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll have the full sum, and you can have it. I'll give it to you. Do you know, you'd go home that night, and if you trusted me, and you trusted my word, and my word was good, you'd go home that night. You wouldn't lay in the bed worrying, oh, what problems, it's going to happen tomorrow. You'd sleep sound.
Yes.
Why? Because, and when we let go, and we let God take over, cast all your care upon him.
Amen.
He said, for he cares for you.
That's right.
Amen.
When you cast all your cares upon him, you enter the rest.
That's right.
You don't have any cares. Why? Because you've given them all to him. We rest. Learning to rest. Now, verse 11 says something which is, we may have to pick up on again next week. But verse 11 says this, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Do you know what this verse is saying? It's not going to be easy to enter the rest. You've got to be diligent to enter it. Now that word diligent, if you look it up in Strong's or in Thayer's Greek dictionaries, you'll see it has a threefold meaning. Now diligence, as it's recorded here in this verse, means either to put in great effort or labour. Well, we're talking about rest. So why are we now talking about putting in a lot of work? Because we've got to put the work in to get to the rest. Now, the labour, as Jesus said, he says, come to me, you'll find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light.
That's right. Yeah.
So, yes, there's great effort involved. There is labour involved. But it's not the toil. It's not the burdensome labour. Secondly, this word means that to be prompt, to be quick. Now, when it comes to entering the rest, and we get a need, or we get a problem, and we're presented with some difficulty or some circumstance, let's be quick to get into the rest. Because if we're not in rest, we're going to be worrying about
it. That's right.
We're going to be taking on the burden ourselves.
Yes.
And then thirdly, this word diligence means to study. To study. Now all our effort should be directed at entering the place of rest rather than worrying over the problems.
Yes.
And this last one, this study, I think has is a great revelation here. Let me just substitute, and I'll be quick, because time is running out on me. Let us substitute these three meanings into the text of that verse.
Yeah.
Now, you'll have to... Every one of these can be put in, and it's not adding to the scriptures It's just looking at the way this word can be translated. Now, the translators chose a particular way to describe it, or in some of the other translations. But if we say, let us therefore be putting great effort to enter that rest. Let's put in great effort to enter that rest. You know, let's do all we can to make sure we get into rest. Let us therefore be prompt to enter that rest. Do it quickly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The quicker you can get into rest,
yeah, that's right.
I was going to say the easier it will be, but the answer will come. Mm. And thirdly, let us therefore study to enter that rest. Study? Study what? Well, we study the Word of God. Because as we've already seen, you know, everything flows or comes from the Word of God.
Sure.
Now, I believe this last understanding to be of great importance. Because this next verse in this chapter goes on and tells us something about the Word of God. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now he's still talking about entering into the rest. He hasn't changed. He's not suddenly, oh, new paragraph. No, this is still the same thought. Be diligent to enter the rest. Study to enter the rest. Why? Because the Word of God is living and powerful. It's quick. It's active.
Amen.
It's effective.
Yes. Definitely.
It's able to do... now, there used to be, when I was growing up, for those of you that are of an age, you may remember this. But when I was growing up, there used to be an advert on the TV. I can't even remember, it was for a well-known, at the time, brand or label of beer. And the thing on the advert was something like, that this, I think it was Heineken beer or something like that, said, it refreshes the parts that other beers cannot reach. Now, the Word of God is able to do something which nothing else in the world is able to do.
That's right.
It can penetrate right then deep within. It can cut out like a sword will cut away. It will cut out any doubt, any unbelief. It will cut out anything that's not of God.
Amen. Yes.
It can pierce even to where soul and spirit divide. Now, who can tell where soul and spirit divide? But the Word of God can penetrate in between. Where the joints and the marrow. And yet the Word of God is able to discern the very thoughts and intents of what's really inside us. Now we can put on a show in church. We can wave our hands in the air, we can sing and rejoice,
yes, yes.
And we can get all excited on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And then we can go home and we can be fighting every battle. Let's go in. But God's Word is able to cut deep.
Yes.
You know, I've used this illustration, and I'll finish with this. I've used it time and again, but it's good to hear it again. When we are under that type of pressure, when we've got all those needs, you know, those pressures of daily living, those types of pressures, you know what? It weighs heavy upon us. And you know what is really inside us? When we are pressed like that, will come out of us. Now, the illustration I was going to give you is that of the sponge.
Mm.
You could take a sponge. You know, sponges. We use it for washing the car. Or you take a sponge. You could put that sponge into various different substances, liquids. Now, that could be oil, that could be paint, it could be water, it could, I don't know, it could be alcohol, it could, whatever you put that sponge in. And then you take it out of that liquid and you squeeze the sponge, what's in the sponge will come out. If that sponge has been sitting for a few hours in a bucket of oil, and you take it out and you squeeze it, you are not going to get water out of the sponge. You are going to get oil. And whatever is in the sponge when it's squeezed will come out. Mm. Now, it's the same is true of us.
Yeah.
Whatever we've been soaking in, when the squeeze comes, will come out of us. You may know this. I was reading a book a few years ago. I used to work in a bookshop, and we had this book come in, and I was just thumbing through it. And this is supposed to be the last recorded words of many great people. And perhaps when you might say the squeeze of death was upon them, you know, what was really in them came out of their mouths. And to read some of the things that people said at that time, you could see in some of their words, hatred came out. Why? Because they'd been bitter and hatred all their lives. That's what they'd soaked themselves in. When you go through, and if you see these documentaries where people are faced with death, perhaps on an air crash or something like that, you just see some of the language that comes out of people's mouth. Why? Because that's what they've been soaking themselves in. Now, when the squeeze comes, I trust that what's in us will come out. If we've been in the Word of God, when the squeeze comes, it's not a time for it. We won't go to the blaspheming and cursing. We'll come. Thus says the Lord.
Yes, that's right.
Thus it is written in the Scriptures. That's what will come out of us. Why? Because we've been studying. We've been diligent.
Yeah, that's right.
As Timothy says, we're showing ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, when we're under pressure, we speak only those things we truly believe in our hearts. Jesus said this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 34. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When the going's good, and we're not under pressure, we can say all the right words.
That's right.
I'm going to leave it there. There's a little bit more, but if you want to, I can give you, I can email you my notes if you want them.
Or go
on my website, yes. Amen.
God, I want to thank you very much for your question.